Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
All right, turn to Luke chapter 9. And what I want to share with you today is I want to share with you about the principles of multiplication and talking specifically about our resources. And I want you to think about this. Probably every one of us have, and when it comes to our finances, we've seen addition and we've seen subtraction and we've probably seen division. But wouldn't it be good to see multiplication? And God is the only one that can multiply our resources to be able to feed a multitude. So this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. You've probably heard the story, read the story before. But I think there are two principles of multiplication in here that we absolutely have to know and understand. And they're very, very simple. Luke 9, verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, well, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. That in essence means, according to Jewish culture, about 5,000 families. They were counting just the heads of the households. So maybe 15 to 20, maybe even 25,000 people were there. Many theologians believe it is the largest crowd Jesus ever ministered to. Much larger than the Sermon on the Mount. It really wasn't that large, that crowd. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Now, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but Jesus did this miracle. He knew exactly how many people were there. He knew exactly how much food it would take. Notice that they didn't run out with 100 left or 200 people left. But why would Jesus do it where there were exactly 12 baskets left over? Now, my personal opinion is because he wanted each disciple to have a doggy bag. Personal opinion. But here's what I like to do with the Bible. I like to put myself in the story. And it really helps me if I think about how I would have responded that day. So that's what I want us to do this morning. I want you to pretend that you are one of the disciples and that you are on the Messiah pulpit search committee. And that you got this great candidate. He's healing people. He's raising people from the dead. And just, okay, this is the guy. And then you have a high attendance Sunday, and you pack a pew, and you invite everyone you can, and you advertise at the Dairy Queen, and you do all the stuff you know you would do. And 15, 20, 25,000 people, largest attendance you've ever had, are there. You have some music. Jesus gets up to speak, and 12 noon comes, and he's still speaking. 1 o'clock, still going. 2 o'clock. I mean, you've already missed the first game now. 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock. He's still preaching. Now, listen, I'm not exaggerating. Look at verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away. You know what that means in the Greek? In the Greek, that means when the day began to wear away. That's what that means. And it's getting late. So here's what I think happened personally. I think the disciples formed a committee. And I think they got together. And I think one of them said, man, I can't believe we're not going to have anyone next Sunday. I mean, it's good, but nobody's that good. Come on. I mean, it's been going all day. I'm starving. I'm starving to death. And probably one of them said, oh, that's it. That's a good idea. Let's tell him that we think the people are hungry. Because he seems to care about the people. He doesn't care much about us, but he cares about the people. So, yes, and so let's pretend now you get elected the spokesperson, okay? So I want you to see it now. Your disciples over here, Jesus is in the pulpit. You walk up to Jesus, you say, excuse me, Lord, excuse me. Excuse me! Lord, we were, by the way, it has been good today. I tell you, this series of messages that you're bringing all in one day, this has been good, good. We were talking and we're outside of town and the restaurants are about to close and we're thinking that the people are getting hungry. Now, we could go all night. I tell you, we could just keep right on going. But we're concerned about the people. So we think you ought to dismiss the services and so the people can get something to eat. And Jesus said, you're concerned about the people. Yes, sir. It's about the people. We're concerned about the people. And then, I don't know if you ever noticed it, look at verse 13. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. Excuse me? Yeah, you said you and your little group over there, you're concerned about the people. You give them something to eat. Okay. Now you have to report back to the committee. That's the hard part. So you go back over and they say, what did you tell them? The people are hungry? Yes. Yes, I did. I told him that. Well, is he going to dismiss the service? Well, what did he say?
Said for us to give him something to eat.
What? He said for us to give him something to eat. So, there's some little kid walking by, you know, with a Long John Silver sack. Kid, you know, snuck back into town, you know, about three, got him something, you know. So take the sack, open it up. There are two pieces of fish and five biscuits. Kid got extra biscuits, all right? So you say, man, this is all we have, you know. And then someone says, oh, that's it. That's it. Let's tell him this is all we have. And then he'll dismiss the service. Jesus up there said, Lord, Jesus, excuse me. Excuse me! Lord, you know, a moment ago, you and I were talking, you know, and we were about the, you know, the people. I brought up to you about the people being hungry. And you had a great suggestion. It was just a really good suggestion. You told us to, you know, to give them something to eat. And we've been working on that. And all we have, though, is we have two fish and five rolls. That's all we have. So we feel like that now this is a sign from God that we should go ahead and dismiss the service. And Jesus said, you have two fish and you have five of these little biscuit things here. Yes, sir, that's all we have. Now, listen to this. Here's what he says. Watch this. That's good. Make them sit down in groups of 50. Excuse me? Yeah, that's great. Have them sit down in groups of 50. Lord, we don't have a lot of these snack packs. We have just one snack pack. This all with some extra rolls. It's a two-piece meal. Yeah, I don't know if you ever ordered that. But that's this. We got a little of these fried fritter things, but then we don't have anything else. Yeah, that'd be fine. Okay. Now, think about this. You've got to get 20,000 people to sit down in groups of 50. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever worked with people? I mean, they're hard to work with, aren't they? They don't just do what you ask them to do, right? They ask questions. Could you sit down, please, right here, if you just number yourselves off, 50 people, not 49 or 50. If you could just sit down, please, in groups of 50. And then you got some guy saying, you gonna give us something to eat? Save me one of them rolls, Peter. If you could just sit down in groups of 50. Okay, now, here's my personal opinion. I think the disciples figured it out. I think they figured out how they thought he was going to do it. And I think how they thought he was going to do it and how he did it are two different things. And I personally think that we also think that he did it the way they thought he was going to do it, but that's not the way he did it. Did you follow all that? Okay. Here's what I think they thought. I think they said, hey, you remember the story in the Old Testament? I don't think they said old. You remember the story in the scriptures? You remember the story where Elisha fed 100 men with 12 loaves? You remember that story? Yes. Well, we have one greater than Elisha. I'll bet you when he prays over it, it's going to grow. And I'll bet you it'll multiply right there when he prays over it. Like he'll pray and instead of one roll, we'll have two. Yeah, I'll bet you that's what happened. And many of us think that's what happened. That's not what happened though. Look at your Bibles. Verse 16 says, then he blessed and broke them and set them before the disciples to set before the multitude. Okay, so here's what I think happened. I relate to Peter a lot. I don't know if y'all do, because Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth, saying the wrong thing, wrong time, you know. And so here's Peter. I think Peter grabbed a roll and said, watch, guys. Here, Jesus, here, pray over mine first. Pray over mine, Lord. Watch what happens. Watch. Pray over mine, Lord. So here's what Jesus does. He takes this piece of bread. He lifts it up to heaven. He says, Father, bless it. He breaks it and gives half of it back to Peter. Are you through praying? Yeah, it's blessed. Give it out. Do you want to pray some more? No, it's blessed. Go give it out. Now, here's what I think he did. I think he went over to the first guy and he said something like this. Take just a little piece. What would you say? So he goes down the row. Here, take a little piece. You know, I said a little piece, man. What's wrong with you, pig? Take a little piece. He gets down to the end of the row. It's very important. And the bread grows in his hands. Here's what you need to not miss. The miracle did not happen in the master's hands. It happened in the disciples' hands. Now, from this story, real simple, two principles of multiplication. Real simple. Number one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. Number one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. And according to the Bible, the way it's blessed is Jesus is the only blessor. You need to understand that. He's the only one that can bless. He is the blessor. And so we give to Jesus and it's blessed. Now listen to me carefully. Hebrews says, this is New Testament now. Hebrews says that when we give our tithe, Jesus himself receives it. It says here on earth, mortal men. This is New Testament, by the way. Mortal men receive the tithes, but in heaven, he receives them. Jesus receives them. And so he blesses them. So I know a lot of people who give, but they don't tithe. And let me tell you what I mean by tithing. You don't designate your tithe. You don't spread your tithe around to the university and the Salvation Army and all that. The first 10%, according to Scripture, comes to the local church, to the storehouse. And when you give the first 10% to the storehouse, by the way, you know what the church is, don't you? It's the body of Christ. So when we give to the body of Christ, to the local church, the expression of the body of Christ in our area where we're being fed, the storehouse, then that is blessed, and then it has the potential to multiply. There are people who give, but the reason their finances never multiply is because it's not blessed. They don't give the first portion to God. Jesus said, here's what the Bible says in the Old Testament. When you give the first one, it's the principle of firstborn, it's the principle of first fruits. When you give the first one to God, the rest is blessed. But listen to me, if you give the first portion to the mortgage company does not have the power to bless your finances. You give the first portion to the electric company does not have the power to bless your finances. You don't pay all your bills and then give to the church. You give to the church and then pay your bills. And when you do that, it's blessed. And it has the potential to multiply. So the first principle is it has to be blessed before it can multiply. Here's principle number two. It has to be given away before it can multiply. Think about if the disciples, after Jesus had blessed it, think about this. What if they'd eaten it? What if they just said, and just ate it? It was blessed, never would have multiplied, until they, by faith then, gave away a very small portion, and then it multiplied. Again, I know people who tithe, but they don't give over and above their tithe. Now listen, here's the amazing thing. They're blessed, but it never multiplies. Their finances are blessed, and their finances have the potential to multiply, but they never multiply. These are just two very simple principles. You give the first portion to God, to the church, and then you give over and above. And that here it is, right here. Okay, I when I began this journey, I got saved at 19 years old. I was 19, and I got saved in a motel room. I'm sorry. I didn't get saved in church. You know, you don't have to be in church to be saved, by the way. You're not going to die in a funeral home. It's convenient, but probably won't happen. But I was in a motel room called Jake's Motel, room 12. They have no stars, by the way. But they did provide pets. Anyway, I got saved, and I went to church, and the pastor was preaching on tithing. Hey, you're just preaching on tithing. Now, you have to understand something. He preached on giving 10%, your first 10% to God. I was making $600 a month when I got saved in 1981. And Debbie and I were both working. She was making $400. I was making $200. But anyway, we had $600 a month. I immediately that day gave $60. You want to know why? I didn't know to argue with the Bible. I mean, Malachi 3 says, you know, you're cursed because you don't give me the tithe. It's pretty simple. You're blessed if you do. Malachi 3 says, you're blessed if you tithe, you're cursed if you don't. Okay, I want you to think about this. Blessed, cursed. I feel like saying, I'm not a smart man, but I think I like to be blessed. You know, it's not that hard. So the first message I ever heard on tithing, I tithe. The very first message. The next day, I walk in to my work, and the boss says, I want to see you. Calls me in and says, I'm giving you a $200 a month raise. And I remember him saying to me, and I don't know why. Okay, so I started tithing. Then God started speaking to me about giving over and above. And I just started giving over and above when the Lord would speak to me. I wanted everyone to be saved. I just wanted everyone to be saved. I couldn't talk, by the way. I could not talk. I'd go to a restaurant. I'd want to talk to the waitress so bad, tell her about what had happened to me in the motel room, and I'd just freeze up. So I found those little tracks. You know, the little tracks? Of course, before I got saved, tracks meant something else. But anyway, I thought, oh, that's cool. They called them tracks. So anyway, I got those little books, and I would leave them on the deal. And I thought, but, you know, I need to bless them. Somehow I need to get them to read it. And so my wife and I, again, we'd go out to eat once a month. And so I said to her, could we leave a big tip? And so we split the meal. We left a $20 tip on like an $8 meal for this waitress. And I started praying for her. So we go back the next month. She didn't say one thing about the little book, the track I left her. So I said to my wife, let's give her $50 this time. Maybe she'll read the book, get saved. And I remember my wife saying, why don't you just talk to her? I can't talk. I can't talk to her. And so I left a $50 tip. Came back the next month. She comes up to us, says, oh, I've been waiting to see y'all. You know a little book you left? I read it. She said, I prayed the prayer at the end, and I gave my life to Jesus. Then she said, I called my husband, and I read it to him over the phone, and he prayed the prayer and gave his life to Jesus. And I said, what do you mean you called your husband? And she said, she bowed her head, I remember, and she said, he's in prison. And 3 years later, he got out of prison. We saw both of them baptized. That's worth $50. That's worth it. So we just started giving, and we just started giving to help people. We were not trying to give to get. We were just trying to give to give, trying to help people. But the more we gave, the more God began to bless us. And then he told me, he said, I want you to get your finances in order. I said, well, what do you want me to do? By this time, I had started traveling, and I was speaking and doing youth revivals and things like that. He said, well, number one, I want you to get out of debt. And we had a car with a car payment on it, and he said, I want you to sell that car and buy a car for cash. I said, well, Lord, we won't be able to get very much. He said, it's okay, just do what I tell you to do. We sold the car. I bought a car for $750 cash. It's all the money I had. A 1973 Ford station wagon with 130,000 miles on it. But we loved that car. We really did, because we knew we were in the middle of God's will. By the way, if you've ever been in the center of God's will in your finances, it's one of the best feelings you'll ever have. And many, many believers never know what that feeling is like. So we loved the car. We prayed over it. We anointed it with oil about a quart a week. And we drove that car. God said, get out of debt. And so he started speaking some things. And then he said, I want you to begin to give. I want you to give extravagantly. I said, well, I don't know what that means, Lord. He said, that means whatever I say and whenever I say it. So by this time, again, I'm traveling and preaching, and I go to this church to speak, and I had one church, and that was my total income. And the Lord also told us, don't manipulate. Don't ask for any money when you travel. Don't ask for expenses. Don't ask for a love offering. Don't ask for anything. And this was before. I'm a pastor now, but this is, I didn't, all of our income came from that. And pastors would call and say, what are your, financial requirements to come? And I'd say, I don't have any. Well, they never even heard that, because everybody had them. They'd say, well, don't you have a minimum, to come? No. They say, well, we need to pay your expenses and give you a love offering, don't we? I'd say, no. And they'd say, well, this one guy, he just couldn't get it. He said, how are you going to live? How are you going to live? Like that. And I didn't mean it the way it came out. It came out wrong. I really meant it in a good way. But I said, listen, if I come and speak at your church and you don't give me a love offering, I said, God will take care of me and he'll take care of you. He said, well, we'll give you an offering. I said, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I meant that God will provide for me and he'll provide for you. So anyway, I went to do this church, and God was speaking to me about giving extravagantly. I went to speak at this church. It was one church. It was about 60 people. It was the only meeting I had for the whole month. We lived on love offerings. We'd go to church, I'd give a love offering. Some churches gave like offerings. Some gave don't like. And by the way, don't get nervous. I'm not. There's no offering for me today. Okay. And let me just tell you this: 25 years now, I've been preaching on giving. I've never, ever, ever preached on giving and received an offering for me. Never. What I'm telling you is a pure message. Most of the time, I give more to the churches than they've ever given to me. This is a fun way to live. And so, anyway, so we go to this church to speak, and I don't say a word about finances. The pastor, they give a love offering. He comes up to me afterwards and says, look at this. And he shows me the check. It was enough for the whole month. It was the only meeting I had that month. And I remember thinking, God, you're so good. You're so good. And then the pastor is standing there talking to me, and I look over his shoulder, and I could see a missionary at the back of the little sanctuary there that spoke right before I spoke. And this voice said to me, give him the love offering. And I remember exactly what I thought. I rebuke you, Satan. Get behind me. That's not God. That's not God. And you've heard that voice. Yeah. Give him the offering. Give him the offering. Give him the offering. I said, Lord. I remember saying in my mind, Lord, you're not thinking clearly. This is what we need for the whole month. This is the only meeting I have this month, Lord. Yeah. Give him the offering. So I went up to him and I folded the check where he couldn't see the amount. I endorsed it. I said, God told me to do something. Two conditions for you to receive this, though. One is you never tell anyone I did this, because the Lord dealt with me about manipulation. You never tell anyone I did this. Two, you don't look at it until you leave, because it's a very large check. And so anyway, he agreed. He leaves. We go out to eat with, there are six couples from the church here. And the guy sat on one end and the lady sat on the other. We went to a pizza place. And these four guys started talking about the ball game or something, And the guy across from me kind of just leaned over like this. So I kind of leaned in. I didn't know what we were going to do, but he said, all of a sudden, he said to me, I don't know this guy. I'd met him one time before on a deer hunting trip, about 3 months before. And God had told him that I was speaking at that church that night, and God told him to come. He didn't even go to that church. And he leans across the table like this, and he said, how much was the love offering? Just like that. And so I told him how much it was. And then he said to me, "Where's the check?" Like that. And I know it was wrong. You're supposed to tell the truth. I didn't tell the truth, but I did it really out of a pure heart. I didn't want anyone to know what I'd done. I didn't want to tell him, you know. So, and I couldn't think. I was kind of, you know, drawn in like this, and I was put on the spot. And so I said, "Debbie has it." And he said, "Go get it. I want to see it." So I said, "Okay." So I got up and I walked down to where my wife was, and I leaned down to her and I said, "How's your pizza? Good? Okay. Good." "There's no check. What else do you say?" You know, so I went back, and again, I should have told the truth, but I just didn't want him to know, and I didn't know what was going on, and I was thinking, what is this guy asking me, you know, for? And so I leaned across the table, and I said, "It's in the car." And he said, "It's not in the car." So I said, "Where is it?" You know so much, you know. So he said, "You gave it away, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes, I gave it away." "How did you know that?" He said, "Because God told me." And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a check that he'd already written before he came to church. He came to give it because God told him. I already made out to our ministry, and he opened up the check like this and he held it out, and it was exactly 10 times the amount of the check I'd just given away. Exactly. And he held it out. He held it out like this, and he's holding the top part, and I reached out and grabbed the bottom part, but he wouldn't let go. And so I looked across the top of the check. I'm holding the bottom. He's holding the top. This is a person who has a gift of giving, and that's a spiritual gift in Romans 12. And he looked right in my eyes, and he said, "God's about to teach you about giving so you can teach the body of Christ." And he let go of the check. And we started giving, and we started giving extravagantly. And the more we gave, the more God gave. And we started giving vehicles away. And we started paying people salaries that were out of work. Thousands of dollars every month. And the more, we couldn't stop the flow. And the more we gave, the more God said, "Here's a good steward. And I'm just going to give more." And just all sorts of miracles began to happen. I pulled into a gas station and went in to fill up with gas. This is just one thing. And the lady said, "It's taken care of." I said, "Why is it taken care of?" She said, "Because when you pulled in, God told me you were an evangelist and I was to fill your car up with gas." And all this happened. I remember one guy, one day on a Saturday, the Lord spoke to me and said, "I want you to sell your van." And I said, "Well, Lord, I've been giving vehicles away, and I like to give. And could I give it to someone?" He said, "No, sell it." I said, "Okay, how much you want me to sell it for?" He said, $12,000. So then on Sunday, I go to church. This guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, you want to sell your van?" Just like that. I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, $12,000? I said, "Yeah." He writes me a check and drives me home and takes my van. We had to get a ride because the next day we had to go to the airport. So we get a ride, we go to the airport, we deposit the check, we get on the airplane, go to Costa Rica. A missionary picks us up. Have you ever ridden in a missionary vehicle? Ratty thing, holes in the floor, smoke is coming up through the floor, rocks are hitting us through the floor. You know, we're just going along like this. And I said to this missionary, "Why don't you get you a new van?" Like that. He said, "I'm about to. Last week I was driving by this car lot. God told me to stop, told me to go over and lay my hands on a van, told me he's going to give me that van." I said, "How much is it?" You want to take a guess? He said, $12,000. I said, "Turn around." We went and we bought the van. This is fun. This is a fun life. I'm telling you, we started. So, to make a long story even longer, tell you one last thing. I was sitting in my chair one day having my quiet time, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly. And at that time, we'd given 9 cars away. And we've given many more now by God's mercy and grace. But I was sitting in my chair. We had 2 vehicles. We had a home. And our finances were in order, you know. And so sitting in my chair, and we had a pretty good amount of money in the bank at that time. And the Lord just said to me one day, just out of the, in having my quiet time, he said, "Would you give me everything?" And just a moment, I kind of, and then a joy came over me like you cannot imagine. And I said, Lord, thank you. Think about that response. Thank you. Thank you for asking me. How many people do you ask to do this? This has got to be a select few. This has got to be the greatest. Lord, you gave me everything. Thank you for asking me. I would love to give you everything. So the Lord told us we gave all the money away, checking, savings, retirement, every penny away we had, both vehicles and our home. We gave our house to a pastor that had five children that didn't have a house. And that's a fun thing to do. The next day I'm having my quiet time, and I was adding up how much we'd given at one time. The house, the cars, the retirement, all the stuff. That was a very large amount. And I was adding it up, and the Lord said to me, what are you doing? And I said, nothing. He said, no, what are you doing? And this is the way I was thinking. I know this is crazy, but, you know, I really believe God, we can joke around with him. And I said to him, I don't want to embarrass you. I think I'm going to embarrass you. He said, we'll try. I said, well, you know that old saying, you can't outgive God? He said, I've heard that. I said, well, I think I did. I mean, don't feel bad, you know, because, you know, it's okay because you blessed me. But I think this time, and I don't know why I said this. I think I got you. I think I got you this time. He said, you think you got me? Just like that. And the phone rang. And I picked up the phone. There was a guy on the phone. And he said to me, Robert, God told me to help you with your transportation. And here was what I was thinking. And I said, well, he's probably going to give us a car. But I still got you. And if he gives a car, I've given nine now, this time, and a house. And I still got you. But thanks for the car, because I don't have one. But I still got you. And I said, well, what did God tell you to do? And the guy on the other end of the phone said, he told me to buy you an airplane. And he said, I'm going to pay for the maintenance, and I'm going to pay for the insurance, and I'm going to pay for the hangar, and I'm going to pay for the fuel, and I've hired a pilot, and I'm going to pay his salary, and here's his name and his number, and you just call him and tell him where you want to go and when you want to go. And the Lord said to me, gotcha. Gotcha. Now listen to me. Listen, we gave the plane away. Okay, listen. This is not about giving, you get an airplane. That's not the point of this sermon. Do you understand? I flew here on a commercial in a little, okay, like that, okay. I don't have a plane anymore. I don't care about a plane. I care about Jesus. I care about helping the kingdom of God, all right? But the plane's not the best part of the story. Here's the best part. Having my quiet time the next day. By the way, quiet times are good. Having my quiet time the next day, I'm reading about Solomon. You remember what God said to Solomon? Everyone knows it's real famous. Ask anything you want. Ask anything you want and I'll give it to you. So I'm reading that and I saw two words. You know how God does this. I saw two words I'd never seen before. At night. So I saw. At night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, ask anything you want and I'll give it to you. Okay, here's what I thought. At night. Wonder what happened that day. So I backed up and read. That day, Solomon was inaugurated the king of Israel. It was tradition for him to offer one bull on the day he was inaugurated. That's what every Israeli king did. Do you know what he did? How many he gave? 1,000 bulls. Not 10, not 100, 1,000 bulls, which is representative, by the way, of a king's wealth. One of the ways, land, gold, and bulls is how they count a king's wealth at that time. So how many you have, that's part of your net worth. 1,000. And I thought, wow, what an extravagant gift that he didn't have to do. The tradition said one bull. He gave 1,000 bulls. And then just like this, the Lord said to me, I only say to extravagant givers, ask anything you want and I'll give it to you. I never say that to selfish people. He said, because I can't trust selfish people. But extravagant givers, I can say, ask anything, and I can trust them. And I'm sitting there, and I just thought, wow, that is just so good, Lord, you know, and seeing that today in the Word. And then just like that, the Holy Spirit said to me, ask. Ask anything you want. And I knew exactly what I wanted. Because you got to remember, I came from a pretty bad background. I said, Lord, I want for Demi and I to be passionately in love for the rest of our lives. I don't want to lose my marriage. And the Lord said, you got it. And in 3 weeks, anniversary number 30. That's better than an airplane.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.